and welcome to the Mailbox Rogues Gallery. My name's Sean.
And my name's Birch.
Oh, you sound a bit down in the dumps, Birch. Why is that?
Why am I down in the dumps? What do you mean, why am I down in the dumps? We're in a holding cell.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Although, personally, I'm disassociating. I'm actually in a lovely meadow, gambling through the fields with Gary Oldman.
Yeah, you're going to have to say goodbye to Gary and come back to reality, I'm afraid, Sean. This is serious.
Right, okay. Well, I suppose now that we're recording the podcast, yeah, I will return to my body and experience this hell with you.
I mean, for people who listened last time, you might remember we holed up in some little shack, but the police ended up finding us. We ended up running out, guns blazing, into what seemed like certain death.
We did get shot about 50 times, but luckily they were just using spud guns and Nerf guns.
Yeah, that's right, which, you know, while not being life-threatening, fucking hurt like hell.
Yeah, well, you think like the size of like a Nerf bullet. Now imagine that, but solid potato.
Oh, I'm still peeling spuds off my skin.
That would explain the smell.
Oh, well, sorry that I've not had time to have a bath, Sean, in all of this madness. I mean, we've got a trial coming up, another trial.
I know, another one. We started this series of podcasts, didn't we, with the talking about the last trial for your previous misdemeanors, and now here we are on trial again.
They're going to look at what we've done this season, and they're going to throw the book at us, aren't they?
Well, I can see from somebody else's point of view, we may have done some misdemeanors, some crimes, you could even call them. I mean, I feel like me and you, we're perfectly justified in our actions all the time, but potentially this isn't going to go great for us. Look, we need to figure out a way out of this.
Right, well, it's funny you say that. I have come up with a little plan, and I've already enacted it. Now, this isn't going to completely get us off the hook, but it's going to give us some breathing space, okay? Now, the judge, you saw him in the canteen earlier when we were having our plates of sausages.
Yeah, I recall.
When he wasn't looking, right, I slipped him some drugs in his coffee.
Oh, is that what you were doing? I thought you were just trying to chat him up.
No, well, I mean, it started off like that. You know, I thought, you know, just butter the guy up. Maybe he'll give us a lenient sentence.
Yeah,
maybe even
yeah.
Let us go.
Oh, I've seen you work your magic on older gentlemen before.
Oh, I tell you, mate, they come a-running. When I come a calling, but yeah, he must be used to it by this point because he rejected my advances straight away.
He resisted your wiles, yeah.
But it's all right. Like I say, I had the backup plan: spike his drink.
Oh, that is a great idea. Okay.
Like I say, it's not going to get us off the hook, but you know, it's going to make him ill. He's going to have to go away, buy us some time to think of a real plan of action,
or at the very least, impair his judgment. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is fantastic. I actually also had a plan.
Oh, you did? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, we got to watch Indiana Jones last night in the prison that they're keeping us in.
I got to say, yeah, it was a fine choice for movie night.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it as always.
I'm pretty annoyed that they didn't have Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, to be honest.
No, I know. I like,
it was all right watching one of the lesser ones.
I know. If you can, you watch the fourth one, but you settle for Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you can't, get hold of it.
Yeah.
But there were all these booby traps in the temple at the start, right? And that gave me an idea, right? You know, earlier when the guards let me out to get my hair done so I'd look nice for the trial?
Yeah, I've got to say, a perm suits you.
Well, I know, right? That's what I've been thinking this whole time. But originally it was going to be a perm and dye job, and they were going to give me like a full back sack and crack.
Oh, the works.
Anyway, so I just got the perm and I saved myself a bit of time. And what I did, right, is I swung by the courtroom where we're going to be later, okay? And I set up an Indiana Jones-style booby trap.
Oh, nice. Oh, my God. I mean, with your plan in place and mine, I mean, we're bound to postpone this trial.
We'll get off. Definitely. Definitely. Do you want to hear what the booby trap is, or should we just watch it play out later?
I trust your judgment. We'll just let it be a nice surprise, you know. Trials are pretty boring affairs, you know. Yeah. I've sat jury duty before myself sometimes, and fucking hell, it puts you to sleep. So, if anything, it will liven up the proceedings.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get to it when we get to it, yeah.
Right, you two. 10 minutes now.
10 minutes now? What does that mean?
Yeah, is that... You want us now, or 10 minutes? What are you talking about?
Look, just shut up, all right? Just get out of here now. Trial's ready.
All right, okay.
Can I just say, trial's ready? This guy doesn't know his vernacular very well, does he?
No, he doesn't really, does he? Is this your first day by any chance?
I think, sorry, mate, do you mean court is in session?
Look, I'm just a prison guard, all right? Look, just, it's my first day. Leave it out, will you, for God's sake?
All right. Well,
all right, I'm sorry.
We'll go quietly.
I didn't know it was your first day.
Jesus Christ, more than my job's worth.
Right, well, I guess it's time then. Good luck, Sean.
Good luck, Birch. Fingers crossed.
Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge Judgley presiding. This week's case, The People of Earth versus Birch and Sean. And ladies and gentlemen, here is the lawyer for the prosecution, Mr. Abel Hogwash III.
Jesus, what the hell is this, a court case or a wrestling match?
Thank you, one and all. That's right, it's me, Abel Hogwash III. I say Hogwash III, lawyer for the prosecution. And as mentioned, we have here none other than Judge Judgley. Let's have a round of applause. I say a round of applause for Judge Judgley. Now, I'm afraid the judge won't be speaking too much tonight, as he is reserving his beautiful singing voice for his performance of Madam Butterfly at the end of the week. So he will be communicating simply by, I say simply by, pounding the gavel in Morse code. Isn't that right, Judge? That's right. One knock for yes, two knocks for no. Now, being a southern gentleman, maybe we should take the proceedings to the two people we are here to see tonight. Now, how are you chaps doing this evening?
Are you talking to us?
Well, of course. I mean, why else? I say, why else would we be here this evening than for you two and the awful crimes you've committed?
Well, I'm having a lovely time so far, to be honest. It's much more of a spectacle than I was expecting.
Yeah, me too. You know, I was just saying to Sean, actually, earlier, how much of a snooze fest these things often are. But, God, there's so much, like, pizzazz and showmanship here. This is really entertaining.
Well, I try to add a little bit of southern showmanship to my court proceedings. What can I say? I'm just a showman at heart, what can I say, as well as a southern gentleman.
And a simple country lawyer.
A southern country lawyer, that's me. Abel Hogwash III.
It's quite an interesting name. Where'd you get that name from?
I got the name Abel Hogwash III, not because I'm the third Abel, but because I was the third son from my mother and father. My oldest brother's called Reddy, my middle brother's called Willing, and I'm Abel.
So hang on, the three of you are called Reddy, Willing, and Abel?
That's right. Reddy Hogwash, Willing Hogwash, and Abel Hogwash.
The third.
The third. I say the third.
Well, did you want to ask us how we're going to plead, or...?
Oh, well, before we get to that, I say before we get to that, gentlemen, maybe we should actually read out the crimes.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, I don't think it sounds all that bad, to be honest, what we've been accused of.
I mean, I can't really remember a lot of them, to be honest. I'm sure a lot of it is quite inconsequential.
Well, let's all just let the judge be the judge of that. Now, we have the following. Escaping from prison and aiding the escaping from prison, sexually assaulting and traumatizing a lollipop lady, destroying the foyer of a listed building and physically assaulting the proprietor of said building, burning of priceless books and assaulting a librarian, stealing from the homes of Will Smith, Tom Hanks, and the tomb of Lady Diana, murdering a prize-winning horse by decapitation, refusing to pay an Airbnb host and verbally abusing them, starting war with a Greek holiday island and leaving a bus full of Greek holidaymakers to die by going off of a cliff in a bus, disturbing the peace of the city of Rome, disturbing the peace at an Andy Warhol art gallery through starting a riot, destroying priceless pieces of artwork, and pimping on the premises, setting fire to the home of a binman whom you have had previous issues with, and finally engaging with a gunfight with officers of the law not 2 weeks ago.
I mean, yeah, when you list it all out like that, it does sound a lot worse than I remembered.
I'm just impressed. We've had a pretty busy season, I gotta say.
And to be honest, when they were going on, they felt a lot like playful hijinks. But hearing it back, yeah. I almost introduced some self-doubt, but no, this is a time to stay strong. No, they were hijinks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not guilty from the pair of us.
Hmm, not guilty, you say? A judge, tell me, are we going to accept that?
I've forgotten. Which one was yes and which one was no? Two knocks for yes, one for no? Was that it?
No. It's very simple. It's two knocks for no, one knock for yes.
Right, okay. I'll remember that now.
So the judge says no, so we're going to have to carry on with the proceedings of this here court. Prepare the first witness.
Calling to the stand, Mr. Edgar Fistley Smythe.
Oh no, it's that rich prick.
Oh, God, he's not going to have a single nice thing to say about us after what we did.
Now, in the words of Cilla Black from A Blind Date, what's your name and where do you come from?
Well, my name is Mr. Edgar Fistley Smythe, and I come from Fistley Smythe Manor.
The Edgar Fistley Smythe?
The very same. And these two completely ruined the manor that has been in my family for generations.
Please do proceed. Tell the court exactly what happened.
Well, I ordered these two so-and-sos to do a simple job for me, just to simply paint the foyer which needed some decoration work. I left the two ragamuffins for basically 40 minutes, and when I came back, surrealist art was painted all over the walls, the floor was completely doused in paint, and you have to remember, this is a listed building.
Really, please do tell the court what list this building is on.
It's on the list of top 10 buildings ever.
My goodness. My goodness. Well, I am shocked and appalled. As a Southern, I might be a simple Southern gentleman, but I have never heard the like. They completely destroyed your house.
While these new people were sorting out the damage that these two idiots caused, I had to spend 2 weeks in my slightly less expensive and slightly less luxurious manner.
It's terrible to hear how the other half live sometimes. I'm sorry, I think I'm going to cry. Perhaps these two have something they'd like to say on the matter.
Well, I for one would like to say that I had imagined that when we hit him on the head with a paint can, that it would have erased most of these memories for him.
Sean, he didn't even mention the assault. Why are you bringing that up?
I'd like to withdraw my comments, please, Your Honour.
The judge says, no, you made your bed, now lie in it.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, look, you have to remember, Judge, Mr. Fistley Smythe, members of the court, you have to remember, you know, we were recording a podcast at the time while we were doing this and talking about Salvador Dali. So, I mean, naturally, the inspiration from our conversation manifested itself on the walls of Fistley Smythe Manor.
Dali paints a melting clock over something that's worth millions, so what's wrong when I do it? Surely I increase the value of this manor.
Actually, the damage that you two caused was somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Well, I mean, you know, what's kind of considered trash today might be considered a work of art, you know, in the future.
That could be the next Banksy.
Exactly, and you destroyed it. You know what, if anything, we should be filing a case against you for destroying our precious artwork.
You should be the one on trial.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. You assault me, ruin my home, and then you have the gall to attack me like this. I can't stand it, I really can't.
It's all right. Your tears say more than words ever could, Mr. Fistley Smythe. You've said all you can, and we do appreciate it as a Southern gentleman of the court. Why don't you go back to Fistley Smythe Manor, buy something real nice and fine, just to cheer yourself up?
Yes, I think I'll do that. I think I might buy myself another manor.
There you go, that sounds like a lovely idea. Thank you for your time here today. Right, next to witness. Now, this is a bit unorthodox, this next part, but being a Southern gentleman, I gave my word to this lady that we would fulfill her wishes and read out this here letter. But I'm not going to read this out myself, being a Southern gentleman. I'm going to hand this over to none other than Sean.
What, you want me to read it?
Yes, you'll soon realise the reason why we want you to read the letter.
Okay, right. Well, it was a good thing I brought my reading glasses. Right, let's see. to the Right Honourable Judge. What follows is the written testimony of my interactions with what I have now come to understand is the notorious crime duo of Sean and Birch.
What?
As a lollipop lady, I am tasked with protecting school-aged children from the threats of kidnapping, drive-by arson, and road slicing. I am, of course, trained in four of the deadliest martial arts known to man. Does that sound right?
Do just read the letter, please. We're all very busy.
Okay, moving on. On what I later learned was the day of their prison escape, I was accosted by Sean and Birch while on patrol. Although I didn't know it at the time, I had met two of Satan's most accomplished servants. In the first instance, I was catcalled by the dorky-looking one, who I believe is Sean. Well, that doesn't sound right to me. I'm not the dorky-looking one.
I will say, I think that's the first part of the letter that she's kind of got right. So if you just continue reading.
Right. As if this wasn't bad enough, after I slapped him, he sent his dorky-looking accomplice Birch to assault me.
Hey, now, come on.
There you go.
I object.
And what is it that you object to there?
Being called a dork. Nobody likes being called a dork, do they?
Well, hang on. She didn't call you a dork. She said you were dorky looking.
I mean, that's as good as, isn't it?
Look, let's not get into semantics. You're both dorky looking. Just continue with the letter, please.
Although at first polite, he quickly revealed his true nature by stripping me of my uniform with the aid of his motorized bicycle. I was left standing in the street, completely naked, contravening the most sacred rule of the lollipop handbook, never let the children see you naked. Having been dishonoured by my foe, I planned to enact a ritualistic seppuku suicide using my lollipop as a sword. Unfortunately, I'd forgotten to sharpen it that morning, and later my grandson talked me out of it. Throw the book at them, Your Honour, lest they die by my hand and I join them in hell. Yours lollipoppily, Agnes Trundlemeyer, PhD.
How do you two sleep at night?
Her account was not how it... Well, I mean, I guess it sort of was how it went, but it sounds a lot worse than what it was. It was all completely accidental.
Yeah, as far, you know, it wasn't like a buckle of your jacket got caught in her jacket or the bike, the spokes. It was an accident.
Something like that happened, and before we know it, she ended up naked in front of the children and everything. But I mean, it sounded like she was all right at the end, you know, with the seppuku.
What are you talking about?
You know, seppuku, you know, where the... With the boxes of the numbers, and it's like a little puzzle in the back of the newspaper.
That's a Sudoku, you ignoramus.
Yeah, Birch. Seppuku is where a dishonored samurai commits suicide by their own sword.
Oh shit! I didn't know that. I thought she was doing the crossword with her lollipop.
I do not know what to say to you two gentlemen. I'm just going to quickly do my shoelaces a moment.
Birch, this isn't going well.
No, this is just going bad to worse. Oh my God! Look at the judge over there. Like he's clutching his chest.
Oh, is this because you spiked him?
Oh my God, I think the drugs are working. The drugs are kicking it. Look, he stood up.
Yeah, he's up all right. What exactly did you give him?
Oh my God, I think I spiked his drink with Viagra.
What? Why do you even have Viagra, Birch?
It was all I could get at last minute. I asked if they had any PCP, but the friendly drug dealers in the lockup said they didn't.
It's hard to predict how this is going to affect the outcome. For better or for worse for us, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Now, Judge, I can see that you're excited there, fella, but do you mind maybe using the gavel?
Introducing the barbarian librarian, Mr. McGillicuddy.
Oh, barbarian librarian, I like that. Very good, very good.
Oh, this old fuck.
Oh, not this old twat. Oh my God, what the hell is he going to have to say about us? He can barely tell the time.
He's waving sweetly at us.
Oh my, I hate it when he sweetly waves. Fuck off, mate.
Hello, boys, remember me, Mr. McGillicuddy. Oh God, you're growing up so fast.
We're in our 30s. The hell's he talking about?
If you don't mind, I ask the questions here, boys. Now let me just continue. Now, Mr. McGillicuddy, I understand that you own a fine library with many books.
Oh yes, that's absolutely correct. I do own a library with many books, Mr. Abel Hogwash III.
Please, for time's sake, just call me Abel. Is it also true that you used to have more books in the library?
Oh, yes, that's quite right. There's a strange incident when these two lovely chaps there, Birch and Sean, used to work in the library. It was the strangest thing. I must have passed out or become concussed. And when I woke up, there were less books in the library and a smell of burning and smoke. You know, so, you know, the kind lads that they are, they said it must be that I was having a stroke or that I was going insane. You know, they're very caring, those two, worried about my health, both physical and mental. So that's what they said the reason was.
And you don't possibly think that the reason might be because they knocked you out and destroyed your books?
Oh, no, not those two. No, absolutely not. I mean, look at them. They wouldn't hurt a fly. And they love books, don't you, lads?
Actually, to be completely honest, I know we're under oath, you know. I fucking hate books. Can't stand them. You know, a burnt book is a good book in my book.
There's something quite poetic about that, actually, the way you said that. Yeah, I have to agree, to be honest. I hate the things.
Either way, you know, they're kindly souls, those two. So I couldn't possibly see them doing something like that, to be completely frank with you.
Okay, well, Mr. McGillicuddy, perhaps you could explain to the court exactly what these two boys mean to you.
Oh, gladly. Now, they came at just the right time, those two. You know, it can be a pretty lonely business running a library, you know. And since my wife passed, you know, I just, it's important to have company. And those two were like a shining beacon to me, they really were. They came in and they might not have had any references, any bank account where I could pay them to. They might have been quite secretive about their past and where they'd come from, but I could tell that they were good, honest lads, and so I hired them then and there on the spot. And does it not say in the Bible, "Judge not, lest ye be judged"? Maybe we should listen to what these lads have to say and judge them by their character of today and not rumours of yesterday.
Oh, this dopey old twat doesn't have to go on a bit, does he?
This isn't going well for us. I think it's time to set off my booby trap.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think the crowd's falling asleep a bit listening to this old cunt jabber on, so you go ahead with your booby trap.
Right, well, look above the judge's chair, okay? No, no, not right above it, just sort of like eye line, yeah? I've set up this sack of spuds on a string to swing down and knock him out of his chair.
Oh, the classic sack of spuds prank. Love it.
Well, it's not just a prank, mate. It should hopefully concuss him.
All right, well, we'll set the trap off.
I'll just release it with this delicately set up mechanism.
And another thing I've just got to tell you right now, something very important. I have evidence and alibis for these two for the past few months. If you just look...
Oh, shit, the sack of potatoes hit Mr. McGillicuddy.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just when he was about to say something useful for once as well.
Oh, that guy cannot do anything right.
What a twat.
And the judge is looking more cross than ever.
Probably because his boner hasn't gone down yet.
Frustrating.
Very, I mean, he's got to sit there, he can't do anything with it.
Frustrating him to no end, I imagine.
Oh dear, it looks as though this here witness is under a sack of potatoes. You could even say that he's been well and truly mashed. Thank you, Judge. We have here another letter, which I would appreciate it if Mr. Sean here could read it for us.
What, I have to do it again?
Yes.
All right, hand it over.
Who's it from? Who's it from?
You're not going to like this, mate. It's from the binman.
Oh, him? Oh, God. Every time something seems to be going wrong for us, he's there to jam the needle in a bit more.
Just read the letter, please.
Okay. Dear Your Honour the Judge, consider this my written testimony in regards to my run-ins with James Birch. He only mentions you, not me. That's good. As I don't want to rehash that which has already been litigated, I will only briefly mention our interactions previous to this year, in which he murdered my father, tried to burn down my house, and stabbed me 23 times in my kitchen with a butcher's knife. Having seen him put away for his crimes, I was finally able to breathe easy. That was until I learned of his prison escape, at which point I fled to a safe house at number 9 Worthington Road, Ipswich, second one past the postbox. It was lucky that I did, as it was not long before he visited my home and once again attempted to burn it down, but not before assaulting my nieces and nephews. Having successfully destroyed my home and all the Doctor Who memorabilia that my father passed on to me, he escaped before he could be apprehended. Your Honour, I couldn't help but hate him for his aggression and persistence in seeing me suffer. But now having heard from all these other people he has hurt, my feelings have changed. I can't help but marvel at the wrongness of his mind, and I wonder what sent him down his dark path. He is not a man to be feared, he is a man to be pitied, for his is truly a broken mind. If I may, Your Honour, address him. Who hurt you, Birch? Who hurt you? In a way, it matters not. The most important thing is that he receives the psychiatric help he needs. And on the other side of that, I'll be waiting for him with my forgiveness and a pint of bitter. Godspeed, you Black Emperor. Godspeed. And then he just gives his name.
A man to be pitied.
Well, I mean, I can't say I completely disagree.
I am really holding back some feelings now, I've got to be completely honest with you.
Well, think of this as a sort of a therapy session. Please, tell the court exactly how you're feeling right now.
I'm going to be honest, mate. I'm pretty fucking pissed off at this binman and his stupid family. Wish they'd all fucking perished in that fire.
Birch, maybe you should keep your mouth shut.
No, I've had enough, right? He writes us a fucking letter, trying to sound like the hero, just like, oh, pity him, oh, feel bad for him, oh, you have my forgiveness and a pint of bitter. Why don't you fuck off, binman? Hey, I see you over there, typing up everything that's being said in this courtroom. Make sure you get this, right? Send a copy to the binman. Fuck you, and fuck your family, and fuck your forgiveness, too.
Mr. Birch, I think this is highly irregular. It sounds here like he was handing out a southern hand in friendship.
Yeah, Birch, I mean, I have to agree. You're taking this the wrong way, mate.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'll set fire to the olive branch like I did his house.
That's not going to help, mate. You should just shut up.
So you admit that you burned his house?
Oh, that's right. I burnt his house, all right. And he deserved it.
Oh, this isn't going well.
You're saying he deserved to die? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, that he deserved to die?
Yes, he deserved to die, and I hope they burn in hell!
No further questions, Your Honour.
Weighing in at 147 pounds... next witness, Marlene Brandon.
Well, if I may tip my hat to you as a southern gentleman, ma'am.
Well, that's very nice of you, but I will say I'm not very pleased with him mentioning my weight there on the way in.
I do apologise there, Miss, perhaps?
I am unmarried.
Oh, shocking. Shocking that a belle as beautiful as yourself should go unwed. If I may be so bold as to say, ma'am.
Oh, well, Mr. Hogwash, it's very nice of you to say. You truly are a southern gentleman.
That's what they say about me, and you truly are a southern belle.
Well, actually, I'm from the north. I'm from Lancashire.
A southern gent and a northern belle. Well, opposites do attract, so I've been told.
Oh, so they do.
Look, why don't you save the courtship and get to the court proceedings, maybe?
You know, I'm really starting to dislike you. I do apologise, Miss Brandon. So do please tell the court how you know these two rapscallions.
Well, I had come home and found these two dickheads pissing around in my garden digging holes, having decapitated my prize-winning horse with a lawnmower of all things. And they were spouting some nonsense about having been speaking to the mole folk. Mole people in my garden, can you imagine?
Truly a tall tale if ever I've heard one, ma'am.
It gets weirder, because having seen them off my property, as I'm within my God-given rights to do, I went up to my bedroom, only to find they'd put the horse's head in my bed.
Now what kind of sick sorcery is this, you two?
Some sort of Satanism, I imagine.
No, look, you got it all wrong, Miss Brandon, people of the court. We put the horse's head there to hide it.
Yeah, we didn't think anybody would find it there. Well, maybe we didn't think it through very well, but That's the best we could do at the time.
It's very simple. We were doing a podcast about the late, great Marlon Brando. We went to what we assumed was his estate, and it ended up being not Marlon Brando, but Marlene Brandon. I mean, it's an easy mistake to make. And yeah, we accidentally decapitated your horse with a ride-on lawnmower. But, you know, that's just what happened.
Are you hearing this, Your Honour? Marlene Brandon doesn't sound anything like Marlon Brando. The audacity of these two to spin this tale.
These two certainly are a couple of wild ones, if you ask me.
That's not a Marlon Brando reference, is it? Because now it sounds like you're taking the piss.
I can assure you, ma'am, I've never seen a film in my life. I do not know what these gentlemen are talking about.
Well, look, I mean, what do you want us to do? The horse is dead.
Well, I want my retribution. I want money for a new horse, and a landscaper to come and fill in all the holes, and an exterminator to rid me of these mole folk that apparently live beneath my property.
If I could just interject, ma'am, I'm a bit of a dab hand in the garden myself. You know, I got green fingers. Maybe I could stop by your place and help you with the weeding and the seeding, if you know what I mean. You know, show you what these what these fingers can do.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound half bad, actually. It has been a while since I've had a gentleman caller.
A southern gentleman caller, perhaps?
I don't care where the fuck he's from.
Well, I think that's no further questions for me. Judge, do you still have any more of that coffee that you were drinking earlier?
Introducing the next witness, Brad.
Yes, thank you, please. No photos. It is me, Brad.
That's right, we're currently talking to Brad, who is an Airbnb host from Transylvania. A fine part of the world, I'm sure. You're probably all wondering why we've closed the curtains and the blinds. It's been specifically asked by Brad that we close these curtains and blinds because he is sensitive to the sun.
Yes, and I greatly appreciate it too.
So do tell us there, Brad, how is it that you know these two?
Well, you've heard of tenants from hell. Well, these are certainly Airbnb guests from hell, these two. They came to my humble abode in the Transylvania. I showed them all the greatest courtesy. I gave them the greatest bedrooms, meals fit for a count. And then they had the audacity and the nerve to make spurious allegations against me.
Now, come on there, don't cry, Brad. I'm sure these two will be locked up soon enough. Just continue telling us how you know them both.
Hang on, that's not been decided yet.
Yeah, you're a lawyer, not a judge.
Look, I don't mean to be a judgmental person, but quite frankly, I hope the pair of you hang for your crimes and sins.
Jesus.
This is getting personal.
Yeah, is anyone going to take notice of that?
Look, order in the court.
You can't say that, that's the judge's job.
Well, whatever. Anyway, look, back to the storytelling. Now, Brad, after this fight, what exactly happened?
They made the most ridiculous claim that I was someone called, Fracula? Or, Bracula or something like that.
Dracula? We said you were Dracula, because you are.
Do you see what I have to put up with these two? Honestly, it's enough to send someone batty. Not only did they accuse me of being a Dracula, they also stopped their payment so I did not get paid for their stay. And they gave me a bad review on Airbnb, which as a landlord, is a death sentence.
Now, I've heard enough here. Now, situations like this, I think that the best thing that both parties can do is kiss and make up.
Kiss and make up? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that seems quite unorthodox.
It doesn't have to be anything fancy, no tongues or anything. We are all southern gentlemen here after all. Just maybe a little peck on the neck. How does that sound to you, Brad?
A peck on the neck? That sounds absolutely fine to me. I'm happy to forgive and forget.
I don't want him going near my neck. That's the sort of place where all my blood vessels are.
Yeah, he's just going to bite it and suck the blood out of us.
Suck the blood out of you. You two really are absolutely balmy.
Yes, come on, I'm willing to forgive you both. Just a little peck on the neck.
Look, this is... it's too stuffy in here. I'm going to open these curtains and then we can have a think about this.
No, don't, please.
Oh my god, Sean, look, a bat!
It's flying right where Brad was just standing.
This is incredible. Not only did Brad disappear, but a bat must have flown in through the window and is flying about the place. Incredible.
Don't you people see? That is Brad!
Right, this is turning absolutely ridiculous. Look, maybe we should just take a moment to ourselves and then move on to the next witness.
Introducing the ghost of Prince Philip.
I know, I do completely understand that this is an entirely unorthodox way of carrying on with this trial here, but unorthodox methods for an unorthodox trial, I'm sure you will all agree. Now, you are the ghost of Prince Philip, correct?
Yes, it is I, the ghost of Prince Philip.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'd just like to say on a personal note, I'm very sorry for your loss of life.
Oh, that's okay. I've been rather ghoulish for a long time.
Oh, that I'm sure we can all agree. Isn't that right, ladies and gentlemen? Your Majesty, how is it that you know Birch and Sean?
Well, it was Christmas Eve, and I was conducting my usual nightly vigil of Princess Diana's grave, protecting her from the ghosts of dead paparazzi.
A very noble effort, I might say, Your Majesty.
Well, these two came along, and they wanted to steal one of her tiaras.
I tell you, I might be a simple country gentleman from the South. Have I mentioned that I'm from the South? I don't know if I mentioned. I'm from the South. I'm a Southern gentleman, in case I haven't mentioned. But I'll tell you now, I would gladly punch both of them in the teeth.
Well, I was about to do the same, but fortunately for them, they passed the test that I laid out for them, proving themselves to be pure of heart. Yes, they correctly deduced which was the tiara fit for Princess Diana.
Exactly, that's our alibi. If anything, he's backing up our story. We had an agreement that night. We give him some royal blood, and then we take the tiara. It was just an agreement that we had.
Yes, and as well as gladly giving them the tiara, I was very pleased that they set me free. They broke my curse and set me free.
Hang on a sec, I'm getting confused now. Are they guilty or innocent?
Who gives a fuck? They broke my bonds. I'm now free to haunt whoever I like. I quite like the look of that Marlene Brandon.
Hey, now look here. I say look here. Now, I don't care if you are royalty. You touch that woman, we're going to be having words outside. Do you hear me?
Birch, pass the popcorn. This is getting great.
Yeah, this is incredible. We might actually get to see a man fight a ghost.
Listen, you common oik. I'll have you any time.
I tell you now, I'm a Southern gentleman, not an oik, as you say. Besides, isn't your wife there with you in the afterlife?
Well, never mind her. I'm free. I've told you that.
Well, the judge has just said there through Morse code that no further questions, and that Prince Philip must be escorted out of the building and preferably taken back to his tomb.
I'll see you in hell!
That crazy Prince Philip. I can only imagine what crazy adventures he'll be getting up to in the future. But anyway, I digress. Ladies, gentlemen, and children of the court, you've seen what everyone has had to say. You've heard all the evidence. Now you must make your minds up about whether Birch and Sean go free or go to jail. Cast your votes now. And while we tally the votes, court is adjourned.
You know, I can't help but think this whole thing has been a bit of a farce.
I found it quite fun, to be honest. Well, here we are in the court canteen. What have you got in your packed lunch?
Oh, it's just full to the brim with sausages, but I mean, even that can't cheer me up.
And you love sausages.
I know, but I mean, we're fucked, aren't we? I mean, there's no way. You heard what everyone had to say about us. No one had a single nice thing to say. That lawyer has it in for us.
It's not going very well. I mean, we would need a miracle to get out of this. Something fantastical, something strange and bizarre.
I would give this box of sausages for a miracle right now.
Wait, hang on, Birch. You see those two people walking past the window?
Yeah.
Yeah, those dorky-looking guys.
Yeah.
They look just like us. I mean, look, they're like our doppelgangers.
Oh my god, that's... what a coincidence. Yeah, now that you mention it, they are the spitting image of us.
Yeah, but don't you see what this means?
Not really, no.
Birch, they can take the fall for us. Hey, you, person who looks just like me.
Oh, hello. Oh, Hans, look, this man looks just like me.
Oh my god, and this man looks just like me.
Oh, what a lovely box of schnitzel you have.
Hey, away from the schnitzel, you.
No, Birch, we can use the sausages as bait.
Oh my, yeah, good idea.
Hey mate, climb in through the window and follow us into this broom cupboard and you can have all the sausages you want.
Yeah, just follow the trail we're setting for you.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, wunderbar.
Into the broom cupboard, you say?
We do love schnitzel, let's go.
Okay, Birch, follow my lead.
Ah, well, I gotta say, this ice cream tastes even better with a little bit of freedom on top.
I know, I mean, that ploy of ours went surprisingly well. I mean, I wonder how they're getting on in there on the stand.
I mean, we're sat here on the front of the courtroom steps. They got the windows closed there, so I can't really hear what's going on. But, I mean, we were in the courtroom. They're probably going to get life sentences or something like that.
Oh, who knows? But this ice cream does taste all the sweeter for the freedom that it comes with.
But, I mean, like, I've barely even thought about what this means. For, like, the past 9 months, we've just been in prison, then out of prison, on the run, getting into all sorts of scrapes and mishaps, and I mean, now we don't have to worry about that anymore. I mean, we're just free. We can go wherever we want and do whatever we want to do.
Well, that's it. You know, they'll take the fall for us, and we can just live our lives as normal.
I'll eat my ice cream to that.
Is that... I got mine with a flake. Yours looks more like a sausage poking out of yours.
Yeah, well, they didn't get all of the sausages. Kept one in my back pocket.
Oh, okay. You always do. You always do.
Always keep a sausage in your back pocket. That's what I always say.
Oh, I love that we're establishing this on the 50th episode. Well, listeners, I hope you have enjoyed hearing about our exploits this series. I hope you have enjoyed hearing about the cast of characters that we've come up against and our courtroom proceedings today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please do let us know. You can get in touch with us Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Mailbox Rogues Gallery. And you can email us at mailboxroguesgallery@gmail.com. We are, of course, on Twitter at mailboxrogues. And Discord, Birch, we're on that, aren't we?
We also have a Discord, that's absolutely right.
And please do feel free to rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get the podcast. We're, of course, available on Spotify and on YouTube and all the other big podcasting services.
Listen, share, like, follow, subscribe. Get the podcast out there to as many people as possible.
Well, Birch, I think that wraps up our adventures for this series.
I think that wraps it up nicely, yeah. This season on the Big 5-0, episode 50, you know, our little adventure on the lamb has now come to a close.
Well, it's been fun. I hope the listeners have enjoyed it as well.
Oh, I'm sure they have. But this isn't the end. We'll be back again at some time in the future.
At some undecided time in the future.
Yes. One thing we can confirm, it won't be quite so long a wait as the last season break, which was, as I recall, about 3.5 years.
We'll try and do better than that this time.
Yeah, we'll keep it within 3 years for sure.
Yeah, okay. Right, well, we've got our freedom. We've got our ice cream. Shall we walk arm in arm off into the sunset together?
I think that sounds perfect. Let's do it.
All right.
I've been Birch.
I've been Sean. Goodbye, listeners.
Goodbye.